Well, this morning, we are turning to the sixth of seven letters that are written in the book of Revelation. These are seven letters written to seven different churches from the time of Jesus. And in the sixth one, it's the next to last one, as we've been journeying through and looking at these over the course of the past few weeks, I think this one actually, more so than the one we'll look at next week, really kind of ties everything together, because there's a common thread that's been running through these, and we're gonna find it deeply embedded in this reading, and it really has to do with this idea of how we persevere and how we endure, how we navigate the twists and turns of life and still remain hopeful in that process. As we turn to this, I was thinking about kind of whenever I think about endurance, I always just naturally think about endurance sports and running in particular. There was a period of time a few years ago where I got really into running. I wasn't running from anything. It was just I just enjoyed going out and going for a run. And I got maybe a little too much into it. And so over the course of a few years, I ran two marathons. And then I've also, over the course of even more years, run five half marathons. The halves are a lot smarter, in case you're thinking about getting into this. They're a lot better idea. But when I was running, one of the things that I always would notice was that you didn't just sign up for the race and then show up on race day. There was training that had to go into it so that you had the strength, so that you had the endurance in order to get there. But I also noticed things on race day. Now, I noticed things about myself, like how I felt, what my energy level was like, and things like that. But you also notice the people around you. Now, to set the stage for this, there are different kinds of races. So the main types of races include one that would be a loop. And so you would start at one point. Say you started here at the church, and you would just kind of maybe make a loop around the college and then run back down a different route. So you don't repeat anything. You're just going in a circle, essentially. Another type of race is what you would call a point-to-point. So you start at one place, and then you run to another place. So maybe you started here and you ran to 5 points, for example. Okay, and then you would hope that there's a bus to take you back to the finish line or the start line. All right, so those are two lovely kinds of races because you don't see the same thing twice. You don't see scenery. There's also this awful kind of race called an out and back. An out and back is one where you run to a point and then you run back exactly the same way that you came. Now, the reason that this is awful is not only are you just repeating the scenery, there's no excitement within that, but what happens if you're someone like me who's in maybe, let's say, further back in the pack, is you start noticing after, as you're on your way out, all the people that are on their way back. And some of them, you look at it, and it's really discouraging how much further ahead you are. It's just like life. You're looking around. You're thinking to yourself, some people get all the breaks. They have the right genetics. They have the right things working for them. And there they are leading the pack. And you're just looking at it and everything. But then there was one race in particular that was the worst of worst kinds of races. It was a double out and back, meaning that you were going to run one direction, run back, and then you had to do the same thing all over again. And what was especially discouraging about that one was seeing the people who were not only one loop ahead of you, but multiple loops ahead of you. And you're just sitting there going, come on, can I catch a break? Now, every time I would finish these races, my kids were a little bit younger at that point, they would always say, Daddy, did you win? And I would say, no, I did not. I am at the stage of life where I complete, not compete. The goal is completing the race. That is the reward for me. If I can get to the finish line, it's been a good day. It doesn't matter what time I get there as long as I can complete the race. But as I thought about this, I thought that there are so many lessons about life when you think about what it goes into enduring, what it goes into persevering. The experience that you have of traveling on that journey and even paying attention to the people that are around you and the different dynamics and the struggles that you see other people having or not seemingly having, it all speaks to what we experience in life. But as we look at our question today, which is simply, what do we need to persevere? We think about it not from the perspective of physical endurance, but we think about it in terms of our spiritual, our mental, our emotional endurance. What is going to sustain us and keep us moving until the finish line? Jesus, in speaking these words to these churches in Revelation, this is written towards the around the end of the first century, he is speaking to people who find themselves in this peculiar place that we call living life here on earth. Because Jesus has been raised from the grave. We celebrated that a few weeks ago. We celebrate it every week of the year, but especially during the season of Easter. Jesus has been raised from the grave. With that is the invitation that we would enter into eternal life, that we would experience the fullness of life, that we would experience life everlasting. But we have this situation that we're in that we have to endure the days that are ahead. For our journey of life, whatever lies ahead of us, how do we persevere and how do we endure and navigate the steps of those, that journey and the steps of those days? As we look at it, we think about all the struggles that we encounter. It might be our circumstances may not be exactly what we want them to be. We might face health challenges along the way. We might experience financial challenges along the way. We might be sitting there and just thinking, I'm just trying to make it through the end of this month. I'm not even thinking about the rest of my life. I'm just trying to get through what parents affectionately call as Maycember. Like, could they put another thing on the calendar before the end of the school year? And as we go through that and we're thinking, you know, can we make it to the end of this month financially? Can we make it through this next challenge? Can we make it through this next season? Whatever the next hurdle happens to be, we find ourselves wondering, what is it that we need to persevere? How do we navigate these days and endure and persevere so that we can finish the race of life well? And Jesus is going to speak directly into that. And within it, there's that thread that's going to tie everything all together. To begin with, he starts out by addressing this church in Philadelphia, and he says, "These are the words of him who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. What he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open." Now, we could do an entire message just on this one verse. We could talk about circumstances in life, and when God shuts a door, when God opens a door, and how those different things play out in our life, and the testimonies that we have to tell about the doors that were closed and the doors that were open. But in the context of this passage, in the context of what we're looking at today, and this idea of enduring and persevering, the challenge we find within this is really to see who is in control. If he is the one who can open a door and no one else can shut it, if he is the one who can shut a door that no one else can open, what that speaks to us is before we even think about our challenges, before we even think about our circumstances, before we even think about what it means to endure and persevere, we see within this reminder that God is in control of the pathway. God is in control of the route that we will run this race through. He is going to make sure that the doors that need to be open are open. He's going to make sure that the doors that need to be shut are shut. And no one and no power of this world, no circumstance of this world can change that dynamic. The doors are opened and closed because God makes the pathway for our lives. And so Jesus continues in the next verse. He says, "I know your deeds. See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut." So he reiterates that point. Then he says, "I know that you have little strength, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name." So he sees within them that they're struggling. They're trying to persevere, but they're challenged. Their circumstances are difficult. But he wants them to see a couple of things here. First of all, there's an open door. And no one around them, nobody that persecutes them, nobody that tries to say false witness against them, no one that tries to change their financial situation, no one that tries to bring something damaging against their health, nothing is going to stand in the way of what God has opened up for them. And he says, "I know you're looking at this, and you've got little strength, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name." What he's speaking to them is a call to stay strong. And he's pointing to where that strength comes from. That strength comes from a few different places. Number one, it comes from the position of knowing that God is in control. He is the one who opens the doors. He is the one that closes the doors. And no one can do anything about it. When we recognize and we see that God is in control of the pathway, that changes our perspective and it changes the strength and the perseverance in which we walk in. Secondly, he says that we should keep holding on to the word. He points to the strength that they have, the little strength that they have, and it has been sourced from them keeping the word of God. When we think about our challenges and how we persevere and how we navigate, finding our strength in the Word of God, finding our strength just like Jesus did from every word that comes from the mouth of God, that can be what sustains us and points us to where we need to be when we are encountering circumstances in life that feel like difficult moments and divots in the path along the way. And also, not denied my name is the last part that he says. They have not denied my name. In other words, we keep calling on the name of Christ. We keep calling on that name. We keep calling upon the power of that name. And that is the strength in which we operate within. That is the strength in which we live and the strength in which we move. And so we stay strong. Now, I mentioned that when you go to run a race, you don't just sign up for the race and then just walk out there and go and do it. People have done that. There's some funny stories you can find online about that. But for the most part, if you want to do it well, you're going to make sure that you have trained properly. And so you would do the right strength training. You would run the right kind of runs. You would build up your endurance. You would build up your muscle mass. And even within the race, you're trying to pace yourself in just the right way. You don't want to run straight out of the gate as fast as you possibly can, because then you wouldn't have the strength for the long haul. And Jesus is saying to them, I see that you've got little strength. You feel as though you're struggling to get to the finish line, but keep the faith and keep the hope because of the word of God that's within you, because the door has been opened for you, and because you are continuing to call upon the name which can sustain you and give you the strength in the midst of your life. And so we stay strong. Now he builds on that a couple of verses later with something that's a little bit more of a challenge for us. It's easy to kind of rally together and say, let's stay strong, but this next one is a little more difficult. In verse 10, he says, since you have kept my command to endure patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come on the whole earth to test the inhabitants of the earth. In other words, he reminds them of the command that they have as they're trying to endure, as they're trying to persevere, as they find themselves with wavering strength, he is reminding them to be patient, to stay patient. Now, you know, when we plan out these sermon series, we kind of, you know, figure out, all right, these are the weeks that we're going to do the sermon series. Then we just kind of lay out the weeks. All right, you know, we're going to do this passage, this one, this one, this one. So I was getting ready for this. I just couldn't help but think to myself that both the Lord Almighty and my mother probably find it quite humorous that on Mother's Day, I'm up here talking about staying patient. There are a few people less qualified to talk about being patient than me. I want to know the answers. I want to know the next step. I want to know the doors that are going to be open before they're open. I want to know the ones that are going to be closed. I don't even need to bother my attention looking at them. I want to know exactly what's going to happen each step of the way. But faith doesn't always look like that. Faith sometimes requires us to step back, to wait, to endure, to believe and to trust, knowing that God is in control of our path. God is in control of our circumstances. God is in control of what's going to happen. And we do not have to force ourselves to get to where we want to be. We just have to remain faithful and patient and hopeful, enduring and persevering, trusting in his name. Now, I, last week, saw something really incredible. Last Saturday, so not yesterday, but the week before, was one of the Triple Crown races of horsing, the Kentucky Derby, the first one. I care about horse racing a grand total of 3 days a year, and that was one of them. The Triple Crown races, I love them. I get really into horse racing those 3 days, and I love the Kentucky Derby. I love the hats. I love the food. I love everything about it. I mean, it's just a wonderful experience. I've been to Churchill Downs. It's a great place to be, a wonderful experience. And last week's Kentucky Derby was wild. If you didn't watch it, you missed out. You can go and watch the replay online. But I'm going to spoil for you what happened, because it was incredible. So up here on the screen, courtesy of NBC broadcast, we see Golden Tempo, who was the horse from the 19th pole, or the 19th post. And he was a 23-1 long shot. Now, we don't talk about gambling in church, but that's a big deal, okay? So that is not good odds, okay? So Golden Tempo was not expected to compete, and he was in last place. He was kind of where people expected that he was going to be. Now, you look at this picture, and you think to yourself, oh, that must be kind of early in the race as they're kind of spreading out and things like that. No, this is the last turn, okay? This is the last turn, three quarters of the way through the race. Golden Tempo, the guy there in the back, he won the race. At the very end of the race, he comes springing around. At first, he went from spot 18 to spot 13, and then eventually he just started taking horses over one by one by one. And at the very end of the race, he pulls up alongside the horse that was favored to win it all, and he pulls ahead and wins at the end. Now, he did not run the best race. He did not have the greatest strength the whole way along the way, but what he did was he stayed patient, he endured, he paced himself, and then at just the right moment, he got to the finish line. Now, do you see where we're going with this? When you look at your life, when you look at the circumstances of your life, you're going to encounter moments where you're going to look around and you're going to go, I have fallen behind everyone. Things are not going my way. But if we endure, if we're patient, if we wait for what God is going to open up for us, we can still reach the finish line, even reach it first, if we have our trust in God and our belief and our hope in the one who is victorious. Now, this is an incredible story. NBC was kind enough to let us download this image. They were not kind enough to let us show you the race, but it's a great couple of minutes. You can watch that this afternoon. Wonderful way to spend your Mother's Day. But it was incredible to see how the horse that waited back, that was patient, that waited till just the right moment, had exactly the strength and the endurance and the presence needed for just the right moment. If we stay patient, if we keep that command to stay patient, if we keep and hold on to God's word, if we keep proclaiming the name of God over our life and our circumstances and everything that we face, if we keep believing and trusting and knowing that he is the one who can open doors that no one else can shut, and he is the one who will shut the doors that need to be shut and that no one else will be able to open them, that is the pathway and that is the life that we are invited to live into and called to walk in. Now, the ending part is where that thread really ties together, though. It's where we're reminded of what this has all been building up to. And if we were to go through all of Revelation, all 21, 22 chapters, I think it's 22 chapters, we would see just the incredible arc of this story and what Jesus is trying to speak to us, both in the church in Revelation and the church of today. And this is what is said towards the end of this letter to the church in Philadelphia. It says, I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take your crown. The one who is victorious, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. Never again will they leave it. I will write on them the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which is coming down out of heaven from my God. And I will also write on them my new name. In other words, this is a repeated theme throughout these letters to these seven different churches in Revelation. This repeated theme, and it goes, we were to read all the way to the end of the book, all the way to the end of the Bible, we mentioned this a few weeks ago, the way the story ends is God wins. The way the story ends is that the victory belongs to the Lord. The way that the story ends, that the culmination of the story is new creation, it is new life, and is the invitation for those who are in Christ Jesus, those who call upon that name, those who believe in the resurrected Lord, that we would each live into that resurrected life, into that new life, being a part of that new Jerusalem, that new hope, that new earth, and being a part of that new heaven and experiencing the life everlasting. Everything builds to that point. And within it, there is this thread that is just woven throughout there that as you look at the world around you, you look at this in-between world that we live in which we are not quite yet to that point. We still have to endure the challenges and the circumstances of our days. But what we see is this beauty of what awaits us. And that thread is hope. That thread is hope. If we were to tie together everything within these verses of Scripture, it would be this thread of staying hopeful. And we stay hopeful not because today is easy, not because tomorrow will be without its challenges, but we stay hopeful because we know the one who is victorious. We stay hopeful because we know how the story ends. We stay hopeful because we have seen that there is more to this life than what is right in front of us. There is a hope of an everlasting life and being in the presence of God forevermore. The invitation of Revelation, the invitation of these words is to keep looking, to keep hoping, and to keep believing. Jesus says it this way, verse 11, hold on to what you have so that no one will take your crown. In other words, keep looking at the prize, keep looking at the victory, and keep being hopeful because you know what awaits you. Now, whenever I think about hope, I always think about one of my favorite movies. Shawshank Redemption was one of the greatest movies of the 90s, and it involves this guy, Andy Dufresne, there on the left. Morgan Freeman's character was named Red because of his hair color. It's a joke from the movie. You have to watch it. And this movie is incredible because of the message that underlies it. Now, in this movie, these two guys become really good friends in prison. I don't want to spoil it for you because it's a really good movie. It's been out for a while. You should watch it if you haven't. So I'm not going to spoil the ending. I'm just going to say that they had to wait a long time to find themselves on the other side of that prison. And it wasn't an overnight thing. It was something you could say they had to chisel away at, okay? So they're waiting, they're hoping, and Andy Dufresne, the whole way along the way, keeps talking about hope. And Red kind of scoffs at the idea. He doesn't see the point in it. He doesn't see the point of hoping. He's like, sure, maybe at an old age we'll get out of this place, but what's the use of hoping? What's the hope of point of believing and all that? But Andy kept proclaiming this message of hope. And the way he phrased it, I think, is so beautiful. He said, hope is a good thing, maybe the best of things, and no good thing ever dies. No good thing ever dies. The gospel of Shawshank Redemption strangely mirrors the gospel of Jesus Christ. Keep staying hopeful. Keep believing. Keep our eyes on that prize. Keep our eyes on that finish line. And we endure, we persevere, and we build, and we run towards that. In the second letter to Timothy, this is the Apostle Paul writing. He writes these words to Timothy, who was his protege. And Paul knew that he was at the end of his earthly journey. And he said these words to him, for I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Did you hear those words in verse 7? I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. The strength, the patience, the endurance, the perseverance, the hope, it's all about keeping the faith. It's all about staying faithful in the journey. It's not about having everything together that we need. It is about seeing the finish line and believing and hoping and trusting in the one that will lead us there. Eugene Peterson, who did the translation of the Bible we call The Message, he had this way of describing the Christian life. He says, it is a long obedience in the same direction. A long obedience in the same direction. And ultimately, what matters most is not having the right genetics, it's not right having the right circumstances, it's not having the right training necessarily. It is about living a life of faithfulness that leads us to a life of hope. The faithfulness is more important than the strength. The faithfulness is what matters the most, that if we will stay faithful and respond to the hope that God offers us, that is what will lead us to a life that is fulfilled and a life that is filled with hope and joy. And the calling for us as people who stand in this Easter season that proclaim the message of resurrection, that proclaim the message of everlasting life, is to be people of hope in a world that is strangely lacking that very idea. That if we would hold on to that, that if we would be people of faith, if we would be people who point people towards the hope and the love that we find in Jesus, that is what gives us the trust for tomorrow, the endurance and the perseverance to face whatever challenges the world will bring our way. And as we close this service, as we come to the Lord in prayer, we do so as those who need to encounter that within our lives. And so this morning, I invite you just to reflect on, okay, what is it that I'm struggling through? What is it that I'm trying to navigate? What is it where I just feel like I'm encountering closed door after closed door, or the right doors aren't open? What is it that I am walking through? And how might God speak into my circumstances, speak into my challenges, and invite me to see the bigger picture of what hope is all about?